Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Any of us look back and say interracial marriage should still be illegal on the day after Barack Obama is elected president of the United States?
If Barack Obama's parents were same-sex married, Barack Obama would have never been born.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could get 20,000 people having sex for seven straight days?
What we're saying is we're willing to accept some infanticide as the implication of our support for abortion.
Faith has sustained me through the challenges and the joys of my presidency, and faith will guide me for the rest of my days.
Don't worry, Craig, I can fix it. A simple operation, a wave of the hand, and all will be well. Well begun is half done, that's what they say, and we end every week of Issues Etc. with a tribute to our listeners. We have several ways of doing that. One of them is going through listener email, which we don't have time to respond to in writing all of it, but do we like to spend the first hour Fridays also a tribute to our listeners, reading their blogs and featuring two of them as our Issues Etc. blogs of the week, and then Soundbite of the Week, your time to participate and vote on the Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. This Friday is no different, although I must say at the beginning of this broadcast, it is our 100th broadcast since returning to the air. And I would point out, if you go to the Etc. page of our website, issuesetc.org, you're going to see a dedication there. A dear saint in Christ passed away very early this morning, Vernon Linneman, and this 100th broadcast is dedicated to his memory and to the family that grieves that loss and rejoices in the hope of the resurrection. Listener email to begin today's program, and then after that, hour two of Issues Etc. We'll be spending the first part of that hour with Pastor Greg Alms. 6th century Emperor Justinian is a significant figure in the church's history. We'll find out who he was and what he did. And then Greg Kokel will be our guest from Stand to Reason. We'll be responding to same-sex marriage arguments made recently by MSNBC's Keith Olbermann. He's a raconteur. He likes to make arguments. He's made some. We'll get Greg to respond in the last part of the program. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio with your questions or your comments, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Remember that phone number, 1-877-623-6943, and that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, when it comes time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about 25 minutes. What's up first in the email, Jeff?
Guess who I just got the phone with?
Who?
Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter.
What did she have to say?
We're trying to get her on next week on the show, and she just called right when the show started from her cell phone. Hey, here's a tip for everybody.
Are we going to get her?
Yeah, she's going to
come on maybe
Monday or Tuesday. We'll talk a little bit about
it. I mean, are you just going to talk to her or are we going to get to her?
I don't know. It depends what I feel like it over the weekend. I come back on Monday. You know, if we can fit her in our busy schedule, maybe we'll get her on.
True.
We've had her on before. She's a great pro-life leader.
Oh, marvelous.
And so she's probably going to come on Monday or Tuesday. Anyway, just a tip, by the way. Never give a producer a cell phone number. Not the right thing to do.
I
had her cell phone number.
Oh, you did?
I couldn't get through her publicist to get her on, so I said, call the cell phone. And it's just a rule, for secretaries and wives of pastors and things listening out there.
Never give Jeff.
Don't give me your cell phone number. I'll call you in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
All right, here's Steve in Twin Cities. While listening to the interview with Dr. Brighton on Satan, I was reminded with conversations with my kids who ask questions like, is it okay to hate Satan? given that we're not supposed to hate anyone else? And what if Satan believed in Jesus in the saving sense? We see conversations of former enemies of the faith, such as Saul/Paul, but does Scripture ever discuss whether Satan or his angels could return to the faith? Revelation is clear that on the last day, Satan will still be opposed to God, and we accept God's foreknowledge of that. But can we say anything about the possibility, although it won't happen, of conversion? Or has God already judged them, i.e., the last day for them has already occurred, given that God already exiled them from heaven and prepared hell as their place of punishment? Or is thinking in terms of conversion over time, etc., simply irrelevant? He's talking about angels. Thanks, Steve, in the Twin Cities.
Okay, you've got a couple very good questions there for which I have no answer, because Scripture doesn't provide an answer. But you have several answers in your questions that I think go a long way toward answering the questions that can be answered. First of all, you're absolutely right when you surmise that Satan and the evil angels have already been judged. First of all, we're given to believe from the very little that we're told about in Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that the judgment of the fallen angels has already occurred, in that, you just pointed out, God has prepared an eternal place for their punishment. And so we would surmise then that their repentance, their conversion, is now an impossibility. The way the old theologians used to talk about it, the holy angels are, oh, how should we say, I think the term they used was sealed in righteousness, and conversely, the fallen angels are sealed in their rebellion, including Satan. But the other thing that you pointed out is, I think, very worthy to note, and that is, if we're not talking Satan, we're talking about anyone else, then those angelic beings that are of a different caliber than we human beings, conversion is always a possibility, and God is constantly working toward that through His Word, primarily through His Word of law, which shows people their sin. In the case of Satan and the fallen angels, they have been shown their sin, they have rejected God's judgment, and they have already been judged. Now, they're also awaiting a judgment on the last day, which is kind of implementation of their sentence. And add into all of that the fact that since Christ has died and risen again, in a very real sense, His resurrection is the sealing of Satan's fate in judgment. Good questions.
All right, here's Wanda. Now that you have moved away from the dominion of the St. Louis Censures, will you be publishing the Issues, Etc. journal any longer? I haven't received a copy in a very long time and miss it, and God bless your ministry. You are a voice of conservative Lutheran theology crying in a vast wilderness of liberalism, and my husband and I are truly grateful that God has preserved a remnant of preachers and teachers for His truth to be proclaimed. Thanks for the email, Wanda.
Yes, we will be producing, although I wouldn't say publishing, we'll be producing new editions of the Issues, Etc. journal. One's already done. We're just waiting for the technical end on the website to come to fruition. It will be a web-based publication. We're kind of like Christian Science Monitor. They spent 100 years publishing a print newspaper and then finally wised up and said, why are we doing this when it's the 21st century? And they decided to go to a web-based publication. Much less expensive, much more efficient, and in many ways gives us a lot more latitude concerning what we can do with the journal. So yes, there's a new edition ready to come out. My article's called Sheep Don't Keep Track, Stop Measuring Your Moral Progress. And then we've got an article by George Borghardt III on his journey from Roman Catholicism through evangelicalism to the truth of the Reformation. And I think it's called Never Sorry Enough. And that's all. I can't tell you exactly when. Do we have a ballpark, Jeff?
No, I have no idea. I have no idea.
We will work as hard as we can to get it out as soon as we can, and then further editions will be forthcoming.
Folks, let the record show that the editor, Pastor Wilkin here, did not ask me to bring back the producer's page, which was, by the way, censured by...
That's true.
Previous,
that was
KFUO management.
That was
I was banned from. I got two producers' pages, and then I was banned.
Yeah, they let you put in two. If you've never read Jeff's producers' page,
it was a blog before blogs.
Right, they're kind of like Larry King. You know, Larry King writes this. They call it a column, but it's mostly periods, and it just is random thoughts. And that's what Jeff's producer's page was, you can bring it back, Jeff.
No, that's okay. That's all right. That's all right.
No, you can bring it back. Maybe we'll even give Craig Craig's musings or something like that. Craig's Corner. Yeah, there we go.
First, we need a dating service for Craig.
That's right. That's right. Why don't we just put a picture in the back of the journal that says, women, this man is available.
Yes, he is. He is. He'd make a great husband. Great cook, by the way. He's always telling me. He's been making apple butter. I mean, the guy's like a single guy making apple butter. I mean, come on. Next thing you know, he's going to be drinking chelada while he's making his apple butter.
The apple butter will be done this evening, by the way.
Okay, good. Now, the listeners certainly could not have seen this, but while Jeff was describing Craig, he was actually in there flexing, standing up, doing a few, he's doing it right now.
He's in great shape, ladies.
Hands on the board, Craig.
Great cook, great shape.
Oh, he's a marvelous guy, and I just met his mother, Ma. What's your mom's first name?
Ma.
I aptly call her Ma. Her name is Marilyn.
Marilyn. Oh, that's good. So it applies both to her name and to her position as your mother. And sweetest woman. So any woman out there who'd like to have a very dear mother-in-law as well as a perfectly suitable husband, Craig is available. He is. What's next, Jeff?
Oh, Susan in Mississippi. This is about the sex challenge by the Dallas pastor. She says two things. What about single people in the congregation? Widows and widowers and unmarrieds? Are we chopped liver during this sex series? And number two, the pastor has invited his congregation to make an idol of sex. Sex has replaced all the holy things. Thanks, Susan from Mississippi.
Yeah, I think I even said that. I don't know if I said it on the air, but I said it maybe when we were doing some show prep, that Ed Young, it almost sounds like he's proposing regular sexual relations between husbands and wives as a sacrament of sorts. It's a problem solver. It brings people closer together. It creates community. He thinks it can kind of facilitate forgiveness. It sounds quasi-sacramental. And given our penchant for idolatry, maybe some caution should be exercised. We talked about this yesterday on the program. Ed Young down in Dallas, Texas, proposing that his parishioners, some tens of thousands of them, the married ones, have sex every night for the next 7 days. They come back to church and talk about it. You're right. Leaves out the people who can't have sex. All right, when we come back, more listener email.
I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby used to hook me a little.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc., Lindsay Thomas, David Zerke, Carolyn Rapp, Robert Banker, Ralph Rapp, Pastor Charles Henriksen, Laurel Van Gundy, Cynthia Kinkert, Michael C. Kinkert, and Michael B. Kinkert. Thanks for your support.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a gift today. Donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693.
we used to have a system where there was a resolution to a question of sin or of doctrine. When the church has been capable of doing that, then trust is eroded completely.
We would rather get along than walk together.
The elites of California have decided that we're going to have same-sex marriage, and what the people want can be damned.
The coal cannot be millions of years old, nor can the locations where they found it in the geologic record be millions of years old. It all has to be thousands.
We need courageous, bold, visionary leadership that understands precisely what it means to be and remain Lutheran.
We got Soundbite of the Week coming up in just about 20 minutes. There's a few bits from the sound bites. You'll get your opportunity to vote on the Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in 20 minutes. 1-877-623-6943. You can vote already. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. And if you click on demand, you'll find all four of those sound bites for you to listen to and a link to email us your vote. Talkback at issuesetc.org. While you're there at the website, click on the go back to the homepage if you would. Go to the very bottom of the page. You're going to find the cover of Treasury of Daily Prayer. I was reading someone's blog in preparation for Blog of the Week, and I noticed someone referred to it simply as TDP. And I sat there puzzling, what is TDP? Until I realized he's talking about Treasury of Daily Prayer, this great devotional resource just out from Concordia Publishing House. It's an all-in-one devotional resource for family, for parish, for wherever you would have Christian devotion. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the cover of the book, and you'll find out everything you need to know about Treasury of Daily Prayer, or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040.
Here's an email. It begins by, I just got around to listening to Pastor Peterson's discussion from last week about memorizing God's Word. One area where this is a huge problem that was not mentioned in the show is adult catechesis. As a recent convert, I was appalled by the lack of learning required of me. While children are expected to attend classes for a year or two and to be able to confess their faith before being confirmed, I simply had to sit through 10 hour-and-a-half discussions of a poorly written booklet from a somewhat questionable Lutheran body that was little more than a dumbed-down description of the small catechism. While the pastor admitted this and covered quite a bit more in those 15 hours, I can't honestly say that I was expected to learn anything other than to nod my head in agreement with whatever was said. We are either burdening our children with too much unnecessary learning before confirming them, or we are denying our adult converts the instruction that they need.
I think he's diagnosed a real serious problem, and it's a problem that the sad results of which will only become evident 20, 30, or 40 years from now. If you think things are bad, just wait. We hear things from church leaders like, we're only one generation away from apostasy. Well, I don't know if we're one generation away from apostasy, but we are certainly one generation away from scriptural illiteracy and doctrinal ignorance, and those things most certainly lead to apostasy. If we won't, what's more important? I mean, think about it. You want someone to work on your car, so you want to make sure that they're up on all of the latest technology that cars bring and all the problems and things that break. So you want your mechanic to have that little certified thing on his door, don't you? I mean, you spent a lot on that car, didn't you? You want a certified mechanic to work on it, not just any old guy. So how is it that when we instruct people in the Christian faith, we expect far, far, far less than the guy who works on our car? We're talking about the weightiest matters that God has revealed to the world through Holy Scripture, and we think we can do crash courses and primers and basically cram for the test. Christian learning is a lifelong enterprise, but it begins when someone is brought into the church and taught what the matters of the Christian faith. Everything that's worth knowing is worth memorizing, even for adults.
Here's an email from Wyoming. It's Mike. I just learned this afternoon from our vacancy pastor that you're back on the air. Praise and glory to our loving Savior. I am an elder with Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Green River, Wyoming. I would like to convey to you the impact that your removal from the air had on our small little community. Yes, reaction from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod membership in the area was expected, but what overwhelmed me was the reaction from the non-Lutheran Pilgrim Radio Network listeners. Many friends and acquaintances know me to be a Lutheran. They were very concerned and demanded an answer to why you were all removed. All I could say was ask them to pray and pass on any information I had. Tomorrow I will pass on with great pleasure where you can be heard again. And then he's got a question here. While I was pursuing the website, I noticed that your choice of adult beverage is chelada. I thought you were a Scotch man. Scotch man. That's Mike in Wyoming.
Well, okay. At the risk of being identified solely by my choice of adult beverage, I still am a Scotch man. Although last night, I must say, I forayed into the realm of an occasional martini, which I consider myself the master of martini mixology. I've never had one better than I make myself. So I had one of those last night. I'm a man of many tastes. But chelada, it occupies a soft place in my heart and perhaps always will. And I'm very glad you finally discovered that we're back on the air. I think there are many of those kind of people out there who are still waiting to find out what's actually been true now for 100 shows since our return on June 30th. And thank you so much for the kind words.
You know, one of the things Mike brought up in that email, though, is debunking one of the criticisms used against us by LCMS Inc.
Oh, yeah.
Marginalized our show. It's just that we were preaching to the Lutheran choir.
Yeah, we just had a small cadre of rock-ribbed Lutheran radicals listening to us, and nothing could be further from the truth, especially in areas like Wyoming and out in the West where we were on Pilgrim Radio Network and the national program that aired every week on about 100 stations nationwide. In our previous incarnation, we had, at least in the national show, a majority of non-Lutheran listeners, a vast majority of non-Lutheran listeners out there, and we heard from them every week.
This one comes from Augusta, Kansas. Richard writes, enjoyed the recent discussion on original sin with Pastor Stephen Parks. My first Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor had a thought on the subject that was just a thought. Here it goes. Might original sin be passed from parents to children through the man only? Since Jesus had no earthly father but was conceived of the Holy Spirit, he could not have had any original sin. Something on the order of men and women both have the original sin virus, but only the man is contagious. Thus, the first Adam's children catch it, but the second Adam does not. Neither do those whom are adopted any longer have it because of Christ alone. I know this isn't supported anywhere, but it's something to ponder. Thanks, Richard in Kansas.
Well, it's an interesting theory. And off the top of my head, my only caution about such a theory would not be so much pertaining to the theory itself, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary to speculate as to how Jesus is in possession of a complete human nature via his mother, the Virgin Mary, and is yet without sin. The reason there's no need to speculate about it is not because there's a clear answer in Scripture. There isn't. It's precisely because there isn't a clear answer in Scripture. And where Scripture doesn't give us any clear answers, then we don't need to speculate. We simply believe what it is Scripture tells us, and we leave the questions of how this works for a later time, perhaps for the resurrection. And my other caution might be, I guess I do have two cautions. My other caution would be that sometimes speculation leads to a need to explain everything about the incarnation, which is an imponderable mystery. But as a theory, it works as well as any other.
All right, up to Michigan we go. Dennis writes, when we attended the Michael Mass celebration at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Pastor Peterson preached a wonderful sermon and mentioned that the angels in heaven rejoiced on Good Friday. Several of us were in a quandary regarding this preaching and sought out Pastor Peterson afterwards. He explained the angels in heaven understood the redemptive work which God accomplished on Good Friday when his Son went willingly to the cross for our redemption. This gave us all a good deal to ponder and rejoice about. Thanks, Dennis in Michigan.
Yeah, it's a great point. I'm glad Pastor Peterson made it, that for what it's worth, the angels get it. We're the ones who don't. We're the ones who see Christ's death on the cross, at least externally, as a cause for great sorrow. But the angels are in on the plan. They've been helping God carry out the plan, deliver the promise. They mediated the covenant in the Old Testament. And having done this, they know exactly what God is up to. And the cross comes as no surprise to them. And they rejoice at his death for sinners. They rejoice at his resurrection from the dead.
One more, Rob in Duluth, Minnesota. If I don't like Budweiser, tomato juice, or clam juice, does Todd think I would like chelada?
Every self-respecting red-blooded American male should like chelada. Not all do. There's no accounting for taste. But, you know, sometimes a thing is greater than the sum of its parts. What is it? It's Budweiser. It's tomato juice. It's clam juice. It's a little lime. It's a little bit of hot sauce. It's, I don't know what else they put in there. Just God bless them for doing it. And sometimes a thing is greater than the sum of its parts. So I'd at least give it a try. And if you don't like it, good. To each his own. These are the kind of things that Christians can, in good conscience, disagree about. Chelada. It's nice to occasionally discuss them. When we come back from this break, Issues Etc. blog of the week. We've got two blog posts that Jeff's picked his, I've picked mine, and we're going to share them with you. If you want to know how you can get your blog considered for Issues Etc. blog of the week, just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click promote. You'll find a widget there. All right, sorry we couldn't get to all the email. We'll keep trying, and we'll be right back.
Toilet seats are always up at LPR. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was an ACLU attorney and radical pro-abortion advocate before acquiring a seat on the nation's highest court. It's no surprise she's consistently voted against any laws protecting unborn babies and their mothers. So recently, her admission the Supreme Court overextended itself in the Roe v. Wade case generated some surprise. Justice Ginsburg said, "I think the court bit off more than it could chew." But she isn't sorry abortion was legalized throughout pregnancy. She's only sorry the court went too far too quickly. This, she said, made legal abortion an easy target and rallying point for the pro-life movement. Unborn babies desperately need another justice like John Roberts or Antonin Scalia to end the killing.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Thomas Stack, William Andrew Heyman, Sarah Walrath, Charles Froh, Peter Gregory, James Runsheimer, Rick Layer, Kim, Christine Luce, and Judy Berger. Thanks for your support.